going way up into the 50s, near 53 degrees. And tomorrow night, mostly clear, going down to around 34. Monday is another mostly sunny day. It's getting even warmer. It's going to be 60 degrees on Monday. And on Monday night, clouds come rolling in and it goes down to around 42 degrees. Stay tuned. Now and Then is coming right up.
Support comes from you and from the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York, riverreporter.com.
Support comes from Thalman Service Center, complete car repair and collision service in Liberty, New York. ThalmanServiceCenter.com.
I'm Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. Today's program will be featuring singer-songwriters who specialize in the Appalachian dulcimer and guitar. I don't know if you were listening earlier this afternoon, but the first Saturday of every month, WJFF is broadcasting live music from WJFF. And this afternoon at our 1 o'clock show, I was hosting the program with two of our local singer-songwriters, Kali Seastrand and Sean Murray. And Kali Seastrand is a singer-songwriter. She's original songs, but the unusual thing about Kali, in addition to her beautiful voice, is that she plays the Appalachian dulcimer. And there's something so beautiful about the drone and the sound of the Appalachian dulcimer that I wanted to focus on that for today's episode of Now and Then. So maybe you've seen somebody play the dulcimer. Maybe you're not familiar with it. It's an American instrument. It first appeared in like the early 1800s in the immigrant communities of the Appalachian Mountains, the Scottish-Irish immigrants. But the curious thing is that there's really no instrument like it in Ireland or Scotland. And the development of the instrument was kind of a mystery, actually. The earliest actual physical dulcimers, they don't exist until around 1880. And they came out of Kentucky when a man named Edward Thomas of Knott County started producing Appalachian dulcimers and selling them. And then in the early 1900s, right around the First World War, there was a soprano named Lorraine Wyman, and she would go around singing folk songs in concerts, playing the Appalachian dulcimer. And one of the very first pictures of the dulcimer is on Vogue magazine. On the cover of Vogue magazine from 1917, there is Lorraine Wyman holding an Appalachian dulcimer. And it looks very much like the dulcimers that you see today. It's a wooden instrument. It's a flat top. It has no arches or shapes. It's held horizontally in your lap. And unlike the guitar, which has six strings, the dulcimer usually has three, maybe four strings. And two of those strings are oftentimes tuned to the exact same pitch so that you get this kind of ringy drone sound out of the dulcimer. Well, the dulcimer was a big part of the early folk movement. And there's a woman named Jean Ritchie. Jean Ritchie is an American, and she was very big in bringing the dulcimer. She was born in 1922. She lived to be 92 years old. She died in 2015. But during her lifetime, she brought the dulcimer back into American culture. She recorded numerous albums on dulcimer. And her and her husband actually became some of the first people to actually manufacture and sell dulcimers. They set up an instrument workshop, I don't get it, under the Williamsburg Bridge in Brooklyn. And they started selling the dulcimers in New York City. And once they sold about 300, they went into manufacturing. So Gene Ritchie is the very first recordings that you hear using the Appalachian dulcimer. And I wanted to play one of her songs, which she released in 1962. This is Gene Ritchie accompanying herself on one of her own handmade dulcimers. The song is called The Most Fair Beauty Bright. This is Gene Ritchie with Appalachian Dulcimer.
Oh, I once loved and courted a most fair beauty bright, courted her by day and courted her by night. Oh, I courted her for love, and her love I did obtain. Do you think I've any reason or right to complain? When her old parents, they came for to know, they said with their daughter, you shall never go. Well, they locked her in a dungeon, they kept her most severe. I could not enjoy the sight or the company of my dear. Well, away to the north, to the wars he did go, to see whether he could forgive his love or no. For 7 long years fighting for his king, and in 7 years or longer it's he returned again. As I rode along, then my arms are shining bright, all in my mind was my own. Struck me like a lamb that was slain. Tears from my eyes fell like showers of rain. Crying, oh, oh, this pain I cannot bear. My true love's in her grave. Lord, I wish that I was there.
That was Gene Ritchie from 1962 playing the Appalachian dulcimer and singing an Irish ballad. So the dulcimer was a big part of the early folk scene, and one of the most influential singer-songwriters at that time was a man named Richard Farina. Richard Farina was born in 1937 in Brooklyn. His mother was Irish, and I imagine he heard a lot of Irish music at home, and his father was Cuban. He was quite an academic man. He went to Cornell University. He was an English major. He started to publish literary short stories and literary works in magazines. He became, magazines like the Transatlantic Review and Mademoiselle. And he became good friends with the author and novelist Thomas Pynchon. He also met Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary while he was at Cornell. Well, you know, he was very politically outspoken. He was a bit of an agitator. He dropped out of school before he graduated in about 1959, and he goes to Greenwich Village. And he starts to become a regular performer at the White Horse Tavern, which is where all these poets and artists and folk singers used to congregate. And he got to know Bob Dylan then. There's a book about this time frame. It's a David Hadju, H-A-J-D-U. The book is called Positively Fourth Street, The Lives and Times of Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, Mimi Baez Farina, and Richard Farina. So Bob Dylan and Richard Farina, both like protest songwriters. And you know about the relationship between Joan Baez and Bob Dylan. Well, Joan Baez had two sisters. Her younger sister was named Mimi. And Richard Farina married Joan Baez's younger sister in 1963. And they started to write and perform together. They moved out to a small cabin in Carmel, California. You know, they'd been on the Greenwich Village scene, but they went out to California and they started to write and compose songs only using the guitar and the Appalachian dulcimer. And Richard Farina would play the dulcimer and Mimi Farina would play the guitar. And they made their debut at the Big Sur Folk Festival out in California in 1964. And they got signed to a recording contract with Vanguard Records. And they recorded their very first album called Celebrations for a Gray Day. And it was released in 1965. So I wanted to play some tracks from Mimi and Richard Farina's very first album. The very first song we're going to hear is just an instrumental where you hear Mimi and Richard playing guitar and dulcimer. The song is called Dandelion River Run. And then after that, we're going to hear probably the most famous song that Richard Farina composed. It's called Pack Up Your Sorrows. And it's been covered by numerous people have recorded. If somehow you could pack up your sorrows, give them all to me. The interesting thing was that I mentioned that Joan Baez had two sisters. Apparently, Richard Farina got to know them all because he co-wrote the song Pack Up Your Sorrows with Joan Baez's other sister named Pauline. And then after we hear that song, we're going to hear one more track from that same album. And it's a sample of kind of the political protest song that was so influential in the early folk movement. So once again, this is from 1965, Celebrations for a Gray Day, Mimi and Richard Farina.
But if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me. You would lose them, I know how to use them. Give them all to me.
No use rambling, walking in the shadows, trailing a wandering star. No one beside you, no one to hide you, and nobody knows what you are.
But if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, you would lose them, I know how to use them. Give them all to me.
No use roaming, going by the roadside, seeking a satisfied mind. Too many highways, too many byways, and nobody's walking behind.
But if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, you would lose them, I know how to use them. Give them all to me. But if somehow you could pack up your sorrows and give them all to me, you would lose them, I know how to use them. Give them all to me.
Going home, but once his manhood riding tall. It's one the wizard high on his throne. Two the whispers he is known. Three the bodies underground. Four the freedoms none of them found. Five their senses nevermore. And six their parents on the shore. It's foaming bells for chains to die. Chills is crying against the clay. Never more to feel a day. But once his manhood riding tall, now all is blood upon our hands. It's woe.
Mimi and Richard Farina from their debut album in 1965, Celebrations for a Gray Day. That same year, they released their second album on Vanguard, Reflections in a Crystal Wind. And during that same time, Richard Farina was writing his very first novel, a book that was published by Random House in 1966. The book is called Been Down So Long, It Looks Like Up to Me. It was an incredible novel. It was set in 1958 in the American West, in Cuba during the Revolution, and in a college. And the protagonist is named Nassos Papadopoulos. And he likes to smoke dope. He likes feta cheese, red cap ale. He attacks authority figures. He's a real anarchist. And he lusts after this girl in green knee socks. It was a real wild, high-energy counterculture book. It became kind of a cult book. And so the book was released in 1966. And they were living in Carmel, California. And on April 30th, in 1966, it was Mimi Farina's 21st birthday. And they're having a party at home. And Richard goes to the Carmel Valley Village bookstore for a book signing for the release and the publication of his new novel, Been Down So Long, It Looks Like Up to Me. And then he's getting ready to go home to celebrate Mimi's birthday. And a friend of his has a motorcycle. And Richard Farina gets on the back of that motorcycle. And they have a horrible wreck on the way home, and Richard Farina is killed and dies instantly in that motorcycle accident in 1966. What a loss. What a loss. But his music continues to live on, and he is still celebrated. You know, I mentioned that he was a protest songwriter. On the second album, that Reflections on a Crystal Wind, he wrote a song called Birmingham Sunday. Joan Baez, his sister-in-law, recorded the song and released it in 1964 on the album called Joan Baez 5. It was apparently her fifth album. And the song deals about, in 1963, the Ku Klux Klan bombed the 16th Street Baptist Church, an African-American church. They bombed that church. 22 people died, and there was 4 little girls that died in that bombing. So the filmmaker Spike Lee did a documentary about that event, which was released in 1997. Spike Lee's film is called 4 Little Girls. And for the title track and for the theme song for the movie, he chose Joan Baez's recording of Richard Farina's Birmingham Sunday. Birmingham Sunday. So we're going to listen to that song. And then there's another song that Richard Farina wrote. It's his lyrics, but he goes back to his Irish and British roots. And there's an Irish ballad called My Laggin' Love. And he takes that melody and he sets his own lyrics. And the song is called The Quiet Joys of Brotherhood. Pete Seeger actually recorded a beautiful version of this song in 1998. But the version I want to play for you today is sung by a British singer-songwriter named Sandy Denny. Sandy Denny also died tragically young. She was only 31 years old in 1978. She died in an accident at her parents' house. But we're going to be listening to Sandy Denny's recording of Richard Farina's song, The Quiet Joys of Brotherhood. And then after that, we'll get back to more of our dulcimer-themed music. But right now, we're going to be listening to Joan Baez from 1964, the theme song to Spike Lee's movie, Birmingham Sunday.
Come round by my side, and I'll sing you a song. I'll sing it so softly, it'll do no one wrong. On Birmingham Sunday, the blood ran like wine, and the choir kept singing of freedom. That cold autumn morning, no eyes saw the sun. In an old Baptist church there was no need to run, and the choir kept singing of freedom. The clouds, they were dark, and the autumn wind blew, and Dennis McNair brought the number to two. The falcon of death was a creature they knew, and the choir kept singing of freedom. The church, it was crowded, and no one could see that Cynthia Wellesley's dark number was three. Her prayers and her feelings would shame you and me, and the choir kept singing of freedom. Young Carol Robertson entered the door, and the number her killers had given was four. She had the choir kept singing of freedom. On Birmingham Sunday, a noise shook the ground, and people all over the earth turned around. For no one recalled a more cowardly sound, and the choir kept singing of freedom. The men in the forest, they once asked to be, how many blackberries grow in the blue sea. I asked them right back with a tear in how many dark ships in the forest. The Sunday has come, the Sunday has gone, and I can't do much more than to sing you a song. I'll sing it so softly, you know I'm wrong. And the choir keeps singing of freedom.
Gentle tides go rolling by along the salt sea strand. The colors blend and roll as one together in the sand. And often do the winds entwine, do send the distant call. The quiet joys of brotherhood and love is Lord of all. The oak and the mare and stallion, light and dark, have thunder in their sound. The rainbow sigh, a blended flower, still have my heart in
We just heard two songs composed by Richard Farina. We started that set from Joan Baez in 1964, Birmingham Sunday. And then we just heard Sandy Denny, The Quiet Joys of Brotherhood. Sandy Denny released that song in 1971. That very same year, Joni Mitchell released her album called Blue. Joni released her first recording, Songs to a Seagull, in 1969. And she took a break in 1970 from touring and performing, and she went to Europe and traveled around. And when she came back in 1971, she composed and released the Blue album. And on that album, out of nowhere, a lot of the songs are composed and performed by Joni, once again, on the Appalachian Dulcimer. I'm Kathy Geary. You're listening to Now and Then. And today's program, we're focusing on the Appalachian Dulcimer and guitar. And so Joni Mitchell was, instrumental in bringing the instrument back into the popular music scene. So we're going to listen to the songs that Joni wrote on her Blue album that feature the Appalachian Dulcimer. This is Joni's fourth album. And I've read a lot, but I never have come across anything talking about how Joni discovered the Appalachian Dulcimer, perhaps on her travels through Europe. I'm not really sure. But by the time she records these things, this album, she's become quite a proficient player. It's some of her most beautiful and intimate music. We're listening to a vinyl, so you're going to hear some scratches. This is Joni Mitchell's Blue. We're going to start with All I Want.
Traveling, looking for something, what can it be? Oh, I hate you some, I hate you some, I love you some. Oh, I love you when I forget about me. I wanna be strong, I wanna live alone, I wanna belong to the living. Alive, alive, I wanna get up and drive, wanna wreck my stockings in some jukebox. Mm-hmm. before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar, on the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light. I drew a map of Canada, oh Canada, with your face sketched on it twice. Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. It tastes so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you, darling, and I would still be on my feet. Oh, I would still be on my. A box of paints. I'm frightened by the devil, and I'm drawn to those ones that ain't afraid. I remember that time you told me, you said, love is touching souls. Surely you touch mine, 'cause part of you pours out of me.
Joni Mitchell. That's from her 1971 album, Blue. Joni's playing the Appalachian dulcimer, and that's James Taylor accompanying her on guitar. So, the Appalachian dulcimer. There is a band out of England called Pentangle, and they were one of the most influential bands in the folk, in the transition from folk music to rock and roll. But they featured acoustic music. They would all play on acoustic instruments. And they released an album called Cruel Sister in 1970. We're going to hear a track from this album because, once again, it features the Appalachian dulcimer. And today's program is songs that feature the dulcimer and guitar. So Pentangle is Jackie McShee on vocals. What a beautiful singer. John Redbourn on guitar. Danny Thompson is playing the stand-up double bass. And a Scottish musician named Bert Jance is playing the dulcimer. Bert Jance is an amazing singer-songwriter in his own right. And a man named Terry Cox is on percussion. From Pentangle's Cruel Sister, this song is called A Maid That's Deep in Love. And be sure to listen for the dulcimer played by Bert Jance. That's Pentangle from their Cruel Sister album, A Maid That's Deep in Love. Jackie McShee on lead vocals and featuring the Scottish musician Bert Jance on dulcimer. So the last song I want to share with you today is a total surprise to me. We've been hearing a lot of folk singing, a lot of British Isles-influenced music. But I was completely floored to discover that one of my favorite musicians also played the dulcimer. Jeff Buckley was born in Anaheim, California in 1966. He only released one album in his lifetime. He died tragically young at only 30 years old in 1997 when he drowned. But on the album called Grace, there's a song he's written called Dream Brother. This album was recorded here in our area at the Bearsville studio in Woodstock. And in the song Dream Brother, Jeff Buckley is playing dulcimer. It blew me away, and I'm going to be listening very closely to hear the dulcimer in this song. The other musicians on this album features Mick Grondahl on bass, Matt Johnson on percussion, and Gary Lucas on guitar. This is from Jeff Buckley's Grace, Dream Brother. Listen for the dulcimer. Kathy Geary. You've been listening to Now and Then. I hope you enjoyed the music on today's program. And once again, thank you so much for listening.
Support comes from you and from the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York, riverreporter.com.
Support comes from Thalman Service Center, complete car repair and collision service in Liberty, New York.